And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is persevering in challenges and challenging times. Each of my guest segments is focusing on persevering when the times are tough. This next segment is something new. It's a call-in segment. Several listeners have requested this. I'm going to open up the mic to let callers express whatever's on their mind, and we'll look at the topics that you want to tackle. To call in, the number is 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. What's on your mind, Ventura County, is a new segment each Tuesday where you turn the tables on me. Instead of me interviewing a guest, you call in and interview me with whatever topic's on your mind. The telephone number is 639-0008. Call in and share what's on your mind. We can talk about national, international, statewide, or local topics. I want to hear from you. If something's going right in your world, call in and share it. What's got you puzzled or frustrated, call in and share that too. No topic is off limits. If you're a regular listener, you know I address a wide range of subjects on the show. That's because you want to learn more about the world around you. Now's the time to call in and discuss these topics in more details. The number is 639-0008, and that's the same number that we'll use for a giveaway. I've got four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Call in, be the second caller, 639-0008. You can win the four sandwiches or the four salads. You do not have to go on the radio to win the prize. That's just something for you. So call in 639-0008, and you can win four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe, two locations to serve you, one in Ventura at 4950 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza. The other is in Oxnard, 1730 East Gonzales, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales in Oxnard. First topic for today, President Obama's $447 billion jobs program. There are just two things that are wrong with the president's jobs bill. First of all, it won't work. Second of all, it won't pay for itself. If you've got an opinion about this, call in 639-0008 and you can express your opinion on the air. First, let's take a look at why it won't work. Look at several of the key components of the bill. Okay, the president has proposed that we cut payroll taxes for the businesses, so that will make things a little bit better for them. All right, that's great, but these are temporary payroll tax cuts. Secondly, he says we'll develop the transportation infrastructure. That means more shovel-ready projects, just like the shovel-ready projects that we were promised several years ago. Thirdly, and this is something new, we'll develop school infrastructure. However, schools are a state and local issue, and the federal government now wants to take that on itself. Fourthly, hire veterans, a very admirable goal, but that gives only temporary tax cuts to business. And finally, tax credits for hiring long-term unemployed. That is also temporary tax cuts for those. And extending unemployment benefits to those who are unemployed. Very good. All sounds great on the surface. Let's listen to what the president promised when he kicked this in.
On Thursday, I told Congress that I'll be sending them a bill called the American Jobs Act. Well, here it is. This is a bill that will put people back to work all across the country. This is the bill that will help our economy in a moment of national crisis. This is a bill that is based on ideas from both Democrats and Republicans. And this is the bill that Congress needs to pass. No games, no politics, no delays. I'm sending this bill to Congress today, and they ought to pass it immediately.
No games, no politics, no delays, and no new ideas. Nothing in this except for developing the school infrastructure is a relatively new idea. Here's the problem with the president's bill and why it won't work on so many levels. First of all, cut payroll taxes temporarily. Well, that's a great idea, but it's already been done. He cut payroll taxes the last time with the other stimulus bill. If cutting payroll taxes was going to be a solution or a part of the solution to get us back on the road to recovery, wouldn't it have already done its job by now? Secondly, develop transportation infrastructure. That means more shovel-ready projects. Well, shovel-ready is a term that we heard with the last stimulus bill that we passed, $787 billion worth of that bill. And those shovel-ready projects? If they were done, wouldn't they have started to bring the economy out of the tailspin that we are in? Chances are these new shovel-ready projects, if there even are shovel-ready projects that have funding and approval for the at the state and local levels, if those are even available, will they bring us out as well? Developing school infrastructure. This was the new idea brought about in the plan, and he's talking about helping our schools, particularly those schools where they need the most help in urban inner city areas. Great idea on surface, but this is the federal government speaking. States have always been the ones who determine where and how school monies are spent, where and how things need to be developed. So the federal government is stepping in here and trying to take over what is typically a state or a local issue and make it their own. That is a dangerous precedent and a possibility of a slippery slope going down that path as well. Hiring veterans with temporary tax cuts, great idea, again, in theory. These are temporary tax cuts, and the temporariness of the tax cuts was what's going to worry small business. Small business wants certainty. Small business wants long-term thinking. Small business wants to be able to know that any tax cut they receive in the year 2012 or 2013 is going to happen again in 2016, 2017, 2018, and so on. The problem is with all of the tax credits that the president is proposing, they are all temporary. Small businesses will lose those after several years. Not a major incentive. And if it was a major incentive, then small businesses would have jumped on them before in the $787 billion program that the president proposed the last time. Tax credits for hiring the long-term unemployed, again, temporary tax cuts, 1 year only, don't help you in the second and third year of that employee's tenure with your company. And finally, extending unemployment benefits. Again, a great idea. I feel for the people who are out of work, and this is certainly not something that I want to short shift them on, but we have extended the unemployment benefits not once, but twice. So if extending the unemployment benefits is the single thing or a component of what's going to bring us out of this recession, it should have worked before. It didn't then. It isn't now. We're looking at no new ideas coming out of this jobs bill, just new ways to pay for it. No permanent change, only temporary remedies, and it hasn't worked before. So why do we think it's going to work now? Remember Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. Insanity is repeating something again and again, expecting different results. When you look at President Obama's $447 billion jobs program, all I see is more of the same, but with the hope and the promise of different results. So that's why the program itself won't work. Call in 639-0008 if you've got an opinion that's different than that, if you've got an experience that's different from that. If you're unemployed listening to the sound of my voice and you think that I'm being too harsh on the unemployment benefits, call in. Express your opinion on that. The number is 639-0008. The second component of his bill, it won't pay for itself. Now, President Obama, as you heard in No, you haven't heard it yet. Let's play his clip where he explains how this is going to be played.
And the American Jobs Act is not going to add to the debt. It's fully paid for. I want to repeat that. It is fully paid for. It's not going to add a dime to the deficit. Next week, I'm laying out my plan, not only to pay for this jobs bill, but also to bring down the deficit further.
That was the president talking about the plan and how it hasn't been paid for. There were a few chuckles there, as you heard in that clip. I'm not sure whether those chuckles were people who were nervously laughing or if those were Republicans blatantly laughing at the president's plan. But for whatever reason, President Obama suggests that this plan is paid for. How is it going to be paid for? It's going to be paid for on the backs of rich people and corporations. Rich people and corporations need to be taxed more heavily to pay for these incentives. He says that anybody earning over $220,000 a year, that's a family earning over $220,000 a year, or corporations need to pay for this. He's going to close those loopholes, and that's how it's going to be paid for. Another way in which it's going to be paid for is by not extending the Bush tax cuts when those come up for renewal in the year 2013. Wait a minute. This is 2011. That means we're going to have to wait 2012 and 2013 before those tax cuts even expire, and that's how it's going to pay for itself. $447 billion that will be paid for in the year 2013. I'm not sure that that's a good prescription. Certainly, if I was a business, I'd be worried about the cash flow management there, expecting to get paid for something today in the year 2013. This is cheap populist rhetoric instead of really addressing the underlying cause of the problem. And the underlying cause of the problem is the tax code itself. That's where we need to be focusing our change, not on more taxes for the rich people. Let's revamp the entire tax code. The White House said Congress should pay for the jobs plan by imposing new limits on itemized deductions for individuals who earn more than $200,000 a year and families earning more than $250,000 a year. That is partisan, populist thinking. Let's tax the rich because the rich have the money to pay. Here's the problem. 47% of Americans today who have payroll tax deductions get a refund at the end of the year. 47% of our population doesn't pay taxes already. That means that the other 53% are the ones that are carrying the load. And of the 53%, the top 2% pay nearly 47% of all the taxes in this country. 2% of the people carrying the load, and now the president wants to tax them even more. That is populist thinking. Let's tax the rich. It sounds good on paper, but what it's doing is truly creating a problem. Rich against poor, Democrat versus Republican, really very partisan thinking, trying to create and demonize the rich people so that you have somebody to blame for all of this. If you feel differently, call in 639-0008. Love to hear your opinion about this. A little talked about but scary portion of this is how the jobs bill is going to undercut the Congressional Super Committee. The Congressional Super Committee, as you remember, was the committee that Congress voted for when we raised the debt ceiling. They're going to look at how we're going to come up with tax cuts and pay for all of this when the time comes. That super committee has just been formed. It is bipartisan, but their task by December is to come up with substantial new tax cuts. Here's the problem with that. The super committee just got formed yesterday, and the president's jobs bill is already creating more burden on how we're going to cut that. Furthermore, it's proposing that we change the tax code on the rich, which may have been one of the tools that the super committee was going to use. We have a caller, Rick from Newberry Park. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good morning, Billy the Brain. Great show. It's great to have this call in, and I appreciate you providing the forum.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a loyal listener. What's on your mind?
Well, I tell you about a couple of things, and let me shift gears here, and I hope that your callers will call in because I really need some help here. How do we, and this is about leadership, how do we find them? How do we identify them? How do we ask them to come into public service? And let me preface this by, in the early 80s, I worked for a large bank card credit company, and they asked me if I would volunteer to work on the LA Olympics.
Wow.
And I worked with Mr. Uberoth. And this man was a prince among men. He was a superb leader. He would... somebody said that he would carry the wounded, but he would shoot the stragglers. And he would ask people, said, do you need any help? Do you understand the function? And if you need any help, ask for me for help. And he would ask once a week. And he said, if you fall short, I will hurt you. You know, with a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he was a tremendous leader. And then at the same time, many years later, before Governor Schwarzenegger, Mr. Uberoth volunteered to serve out the service for Mr. Davis, Gray Davis.
Gray Davis, Governor Davis, yes.
Governor Davis, thank you. And he said, I will do it for no money. There will be blood in the streets. People will be hurt, but I will solve California's problem. But then when Mr. Schwarzenegger became involved, he said, I can't compete with a movie star, and he rescinded his offer.
Well, it's funny. We've had one very successful movie star turned politician, and that, of course, is President Ronald Reagan, who was highly successful there. But there are two things that leap to my mind about this, Rick. And first is leadership is not something that is taught. Unfortunately, it's a learned skill. but it's not something that's taught at the school level. It's really not taught in many organizations today. So finding leaders is a question of developing leaders. And developing leaders...
Is it ingrained in their own personal expectation and in their fiber?
No, not at all. People become leaders for various reasons. All of those reasons crop up at the time that they crop up. I don't think that anybody sets out, they're beginning their life saying, I'm going to be a leader. It's a learned skill. However, something sparks you to become a leader. And one of the challenges with government leadership is that who wants to put themselves or their family through that scrutiny of becoming a leader?
Well, that's very interesting, later, I took a 6-month in the early 90s. I took a 6-month leave of absence to work for Mr. Perot on his presidential run, if you want to call that. And he was very clean, very crisp, very military background.
Yes.
And that was a real eye opening, and where he would just cut you off at your knees if you failed to perform.
Well, now you're talking about two different things there, though, Rick. You're talking about leadership, which is the charisma and the support and removing roadblocks for people, and then the accountability portion of it, which is the failure to perform or carry the wounded and kill the stragglers, which you've referred to before.
Yeah.
Accountability is certainly something that we're lacking at all levels, whether it is in our schools, whether it is in our communities, whether it's in our political system. Accountability is just not something that is built into, and I'm going to pick on politics because that's where we started this conversation.
Sure.
Accountability is not put into politics. Let's just take how we're going to pay for this new $447 billion jobs program. The president wants to pay for this in part by rescinding the Bush tax cuts. Well, that's all wonderful and good. That's a great strategy. The Bush tax cuts were rescinded in 2013. In the meantime, we're here in 2011. The bill will be enacted in 2011. It will run through 2012, and we won't pay for it until 2013, at which time there's a possibility that President Obama will no longer be president.
Yes.
And so where's the accountability? He has pushed it down the road, or as the very popular phrase right now, kick the can down the road.
Yes.
It's too easy for politicians to do that today and not to stand up and take accountability. Here's the other side of that argument as well. Accountability, people who want to be accountable want to be accountable immediately. The problem is that anybody who wants to serve in government and be effective also wants to be out of government. I do believe that the most effective people in government are those who serve the shortest amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Republican tenet. You know, the biggest of government is not the best government, that you want to get into government, do your time, but then get out of government as well. The problem is that people who want to get in and be effective also want to get out. So they want the accountability. They can't have the accountability during their term in the time frame that they want. So it makes going into politics less desirable for them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I want to, as you mentioned earlier, that with Mr. Perot, he used the example oftentimes where it said, you know, get in and get out and do the job. And so, but it's also my opinion where many elected officials now, their biggest job is to be reelected.
So true, so true. Rick, we've got to jump. I've got a true American patriot.
I certainly appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. We've got a great guest coming up. We've got Sharon Robinson, daughter of Jackie Robinson, the man who broke the color barrier in baseball, will be our next guest, and she'll be joining us after these words from our sponsor.